I'm Brittany Murphy's father, Angelo. Brittany also was called as a witness in the Julia Davis case. Brittany did tell me she was under surveillance, and incidentally, so was I.
Simon Monjak and Brittany Murphy were subjected to the same terror tactics that were utilized by the Department of Homeland Security in the Julia Davis case.
We were told to be especially vigilant during national holidays. A special designated date to watch was July 4, 2004, Independence Day, when intelligence data suggested the highest possibility of terrorists attempting to enter the United States.
It's not an issue of any wrongdoing. The government is more concerned about the person making the report than fixing the problem.
Our neighbor, Matthew Judd, filmed the Black Hawk helicopter raid of our home.
He was shaking. I mean, he wasn't holding the camera steady.
Only weeks after turning over the tape to us, Matthew Judd was found dead in his home. He was only 25 years old.
Today we're going to go into the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy. This is part two of our analysis on the conspiracy theory that is the life and death of Brittany Murphy. Part one, which obviously you should listen to. We went into the HBO documentary, What Happened to Brittany Murphy, which to me seemed more like a revisionist history, a persuasion to tell us that she died because she was unhealthy and bulimic and her husband was this puppet master of sorts. Now, like all things in life, I'm sure there's some elements of truth into all these things. But that doesn't tell the whole story. It's definitely not the entire theory. So at the end of part one, we went into the haunted house that Brittany Murphy lived in. Factually cited quotes from her talking about how she didn't like going there. And the very, very bizarre link to Brittany Spears, who also lived there and also felt like there were spirits in there. Malevolent spirits. So check out part one. That was published just last week. And if you checked out my Instagram, I'm sure you did, Instagram.com/IsaacWeishaupt, you saw the strange images that Simon took of her wearing these bizarre masks. So we're in agreement with the HBO doc that Simon's a shady dude, or he was a shady dude. Obviously, he's dead now. He died just months after Brittany Murphy in almost the identical fashion, which was really strange. But today, we are going to look at some even stranger conspiracies. I'm going to walk you through my article I published on this topic back in 2012. I'll probably whine a little bit about how how my blog was taken down, so be ready for some whining. But we're going to hit on higher control groups, Illuminati types, who allegedly there was some involvement with the Department of Homeland Security, which things get real sticky and real weird. So I'm going to try my best to unpack that in a way that makes sense, because I've not been able to find a way that makes sense to understand the story of what exactly happened there online. You would think it'd be a pretty straightforward thing that she was involved with a whistleblower that worked for the Department of Homeland Security. But it proved very difficult to figure out why. Why was Brittany Murphy in any sort of collaboration with some random person that worked for the Department of Homeland Security? A straightforward question that I had, and I'm going to find a way to try to link that in a way that makes sense. And again, sorry, no video on this one. I'm getting the new laptop for the studio here. It's shipped since our last show. Ironically, I've been waiting on this thing since November. And look, to be fair to Apple, I'm not trying to crap all over Apple. A crapple, if you will. I'm not trying to, make it sound bad. I did order, I ordered like the most custom decked out. I mean, this is like a $5,000 laptop. So I imagine it took some time to build it. It wasn't off the shelf. Why did I have to do that? Well, it's because I love you. I love my dear listeners. And on my supporter feeds, tier two and up, get access to HD 4K video versions of the podcast, which is basically just me talking to you through a video format. But you might be able to see some clips here and there. Just depends. Rockfin, they'll let me throw up clips, you know, because it's fair use, right? I'm allowed to show you clips from the movies, but YouTube, on the other hand, is hit or miss. You got a 50-50 chance that they'll let me actually put the video clip on there. But anyway, I'm trying, right? But to do that, I needed a much better laptop because I'm giving up on this one. It's a MacBook Pro, but it just doesn't have the speed, we'll say. Keep it PG. I watched a video. They were talking about how if men go out in the sun and expose their their genitalia to the sun, it doubles your testosterone. I don't know if that works. I'll try it out. I'll let you know. You find out if I get arrested for public indecency. They're suppressing the truth about sun in your testicles. Okay, so is that all the housekeeping we got? Got to be more housekeeping than that. For my supporters, right? You get a bonus episode every month. I was going to do Animatrix this month, but I think what I'm going to do is a sort of TMZ episode. I know you guys love the TMZ Illuminate Confirms, because I want to talk to you about the passing of a conspiracy truther guy who I really looked up to and worked to in the past. A lot of NASA nerds are going to kill us talk. And I've got some crazy findings on Kanye West's new boo thang, Julia Fox. You're not going to believe this link. And shout out to my anonymous source who notified me about this. I couldn't believe it. So stay tuned for a real bombshell on Kanye, you know, collaborating with a devil worshiper. This is the second one. Marilyn Manson was the first one. And I thought, well, maybe he's trying to, you know, wake Marilyn Manson up to the real truth. The path to salvation is to God and Jesus Christ. But then I seen this girl he's dating. I said, well, I mean, first off, like, she ain't ugly, so I get it, right? But then I saw what she was into. And yeah, we're going to talk about that that's going to be your January supporter only bonus episode. And then in February, I'll hit the Animatrix for you. Okay. Oh, and one more housekeeping. If you're on the free feed, I've got this offer and the door's closing. You got till January 31st. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab, sign up and use promo code NOMORELOSERS, all one word, and you'll get tier one access for only $2. And I'll give that to you for 2 months in a row. $2 for 22 for 2 months. I want you to get in on the supporter feed. You'll no more ads ever. 2 free books. You get The Dark Path and Kubrick's Code. And you get all the bonus episodes, like this one where I'm going to expose Julia Fox and Kanye West for worshiping the devil. Oh, my God. We're going to expose it. But anyways, I've got over 100 bonus episodes on the VIP section. And yeah, it's actually the only, I've got 3 supporter platforms. I got Rockfin, Patreon, and VIP. And VIP, that's the one that I run. I control that. I'm the admin on the whole thing. And that's the only one where you can get every episode going all the way back to 2014 ad-free. It's the only one. The other ones have their perks and their ups and downs. And, you know, people always ask me, well, which one do you want? I'm like, I don't care. Whichever one you want to do. Rockfin's great for certain things. Patreon's great for other things. VIP's good for these other things. And that's, VIP. So for only $2, check it out. And once, my theory is, the second you get on board, you'll never go back to the free feed. So I'm trying to make this very easy. And only until January 31st, you can get in for $2. And you'll get that rate for 2 months in a row. Promo code NOMORELOSERS. IlluminatiWatcher.com, VIP section. Link in the show notes, as always. Okay. Let's get into Brittany Murphy, part two, with the feds, the paparazzi, and controlling the narrative.
So let's look at the post I made in 2012. I'd actually updated it in 2014 with some new updates and links. But this was one of the most popular posts that I had, ironically. I was actually pretty new to blogging, and the format wasn't the best, and it was a clunky article, but those first 4 or 5 years of blogging, I was covering ideas that apparently not a lot of others were doing. People like Vigilant Citizen were doing similar content. Sort of this realm of Hollywood gossip, celeb, Illuminati symbolism niche. And it was, and I looked up the stats because, you know, I'm a stat nerd. This was actually out of like 2,000 articles. This was my 15th most popular article. It had 140,000 views. So yeah, anyway. The article was around for the great golden age of IlluminatiWatcher.com, which is no longer, right? I mean, the website's still there. You can't look at the 2,000 articles I had written. And by the way, the number one article was Decoding Symbolism, Triangles in the Sun, at 375,000 views, because I kept the Decoding Symbolism series up. I just had to take all the images down. And then there's a ton of other popular posts I made, like the Paul Walker death was one of the most popular. The Lil Wayne, My Homie Still symbolism that I connected to the Aurora, Colorado Batman shooting, which is one of my big, sort of big moments that put me on the map. I should do that, right? I should do a show someday of the golden age, the best blogs for people that have been around in this community for 10 years that are like, oh yeah, I remember that stuff. And ironically, that Lil Wayne, My Homie Still symbolism article I wrote in 2012, and one of the first things I examined in that article was the gematria of the house address. And if you listened to my Rockfin Truth or Drama episode where I talked about how I came under fire from Zachary Hubbard, a gematria expert, there's an article right there, 2012. So I never discounted gematria. There you go. Back in 2012, I was talking about it. Now, this post about Brittany Murphy will cover other conspiracy theories about all these Illuminati control groups that were allegedly part of this. And I'll read through it almost verbatim. So, you know, since you obviously can't read it. Okay. There we go. Something has always seemed a bit odd about Brittany Murphy's death. She was 32 years old and dropped dead at her house due to pneumonia and drug interactions. This in itself is odd, but couple that with the fact that her husband Simon Monjak, age 40, died 5 months later in the house with pneumonia, just like Brittany. Now ask yourself what the odds of that happening are. Two young adults die within months of each other from the same thing. Monjak's death was initially called natural causes, even though he was only 40 years old. Monjak was also on record discussing a secret Hollywood group, the Illuminati, that was out to destroy Britney's career. Let's look into that. HollywoodReporter.com ran an article in 2011 by the editor, Alex Ben Block, who discusses what happened in the days following Britney's death. In it, he talks about his interview with Britney's husband, Simon, just days after her death. And now I'm going to read to you from the article. Simon wanted the book because he was convinced, before the autopsy report on Brittany came back, that she had literally died of a broken heart caused by the shoddy way she had been treated in Hollywood. He wanted to expose the studios, producers, and talent reps he believed had used rumor and innuendo about her alleged lateness, inability to remember lines, drug use, and partying to destroy her career. Simon believed there had been a conspiracy against her among former agents and managers. That was a major motivation to move away from Hollywood. It wasn't about the money, he told me.
she wasn't going, oh, I'm not being offered $10 million to do a movie. It was, I'm not getting offered anything where I can really show what I can do. I can sing. I can dance. I can do all these things I was put on Earth to show the world. And somehow she was being blocked from doing it. The irony, Simon insisted, was that Britney literally could not do drugs. In her early teens, she had been diagnosed with a heart murmur, so Britney knew illegal drugs could endanger her life. That fear, Sharon said, made it impossible for Britney to use cocaine or stimulants. Now let's pause for a minute and take a look, because that's basically what the HBO Max documentary seems to imply. The same things that Simon is claiming, look, this is a conspiracy. She didn't do these things. HBO is saying, no, she really did these things. Being late, not remembering lines, too much drug use. Now here it says partying, but in the HBO doc, it seems like she was kept in her home, mostly. So he says that, yeah, and then also he says she didn't like that she wasn't being offered the wide breadth of talent that she actually had, singing and dancing, and as we saw in the documentary, she was very talented at many things. So Simon's allegations that there was a conspiracy against her from Hollywood management and agents, I give it a 70% possibility. That seems like it very well could be what happened. If he wasn't so damn shady, right? If Simon wasn't such a shady dude that seemed like a real liar, maybe, from what I've seen, I wish I could get behind that theory 100%. Then, and here's an update I made to the article. Editor's note. In November 2013, Brittany Murphy's father requested a new toxicology report that suggested that his daughter may have been poisoned. In an we heard about that on the HBO Max doc. In an interview on Good Morning America, he said, "I have a feeling that there was definitely a murder situation here. Yeah, it's poison." And of course, there's disputes against that, right? But here's where I'm a little bit torn after watching the documentary. They do a pretty good job in the documentary at presenting Britney with this weight, bulimia, anorexia issue. She was very skinny, very thin. And they also claim her toxicology showed a slew of medications. Legal, right? But still. And they also do a good job of making it sound like Simon was secluding and controlling her, trying to get her away from Hollywood. And he was a con man. But if you listen to the other side of the story, Simon's more like, yeah, I was trying to get her away from Hollywood because they were sketchy. There was a conspiracy against her. Now, in that same article, it later talks about how Brittany Murphy and her husband Simon would practice their own version of holistic medicine. They would take whatever drugs they felt were appropriate. And the article even claims that Simon was using paranoia about Hollywood, this conspiracy, right? He was using this conspiracy to control Brittany. He was mind controlling her, which, when we look at all the masks he was making her wear for those photos, seems to imply maybe he was. Maybe he was behind all this and he was mind controlling her, trying to make her believe in a conspiracy. Because maybe her Hollywood agents and stuff were trying to get her away from Simon. Could be. In fact, let me read to you from that article. It said, "It turned out to be one of the few times we saw them in the next 2 years. Simon, as many of Britney's family members and friends came to believe, had created a web paranoia around Britney and used it to separate her from anyone who might have challenged his dominance. Simon even told terrible lies about his mother, apparently to keep her from telling Britney and Sharon the truth about him." Linda Monjak says she met her daughter-in-law only once at dinner in New York in 2007. but Simon communicated with his mother by phone and email nearly every day. So again, watching the documentary where Simon's mother seemed to be defending him, even though he allegedly, apparently, seemingly was doing a bunch of shady stuff, this would make more sense if Simon's kind of mind controlling and lying to his own mother. Maybe that's how that went down. Okay, so we've got this first chunk of the theory with a little more elaboration on it, with the connections to the Hollywood scene trying to control Britney versus Simon trying to control Britney. I mean, and I'm not one to defend Hollywood, but I can't help but think when, like, the hot take I get on Simon is, like, he seemed like a liar. He seemed like a shady dude and a controlling guy, and she was incredibly beautiful. Not that looks are that important, but come on. And he was not. And maybe he was very jealous and worried she was going to leave him. He didn't really have nothing to offer because he was making up all this stuff that he had that he didn't. The only thing that brings me back to saying maybe Simon was right about a Hollywood conspiracy is the fact that he died within months of her. That's the one I can't wrap my head around. And, you know, of course it could have been, right? Anything could happen. But let's get into this even wilder theory that I was surprised wasn't brought up really in the HBO doc. Going back to my article, let's read from it. Filmmaker Asif Akbar has two films that talk about Brittany Murphy's death and a new conspiracy theory surrounding it. The first film, Top Priority, The Terror Within, shows that Murphy was friends with a whistleblower who the TSA allegedly retaliated against. Okay, and here's what it said. Federal officer with the Department of Homeland Security discovers a national security breach related to the entry of 23 aliens from terrorist countries into the United States. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner, former head of the DEA, Robert Boner, he can't afford any more media scrutiny since his incompetence was already exposed in the NASA Challenger disaster. To avoid the scandal, the full might of the government is unleashed against Julia Davis, her family, and witnesses. This retaliation reaches the unprecedented magnitude, including four unexplained deaths, Hollywood and the Mafia, false imprisonments, and the use of helicopters and airplanes for warrantless surveillance. Amidst many shocking revelations, this documentary provides a new insight into the deaths of well-known Hollywood figures. Unwittingly dragged into this scandal, the truth is no longer a secret. So here's where you got an actual motive. You got this DEA Robert Boner, who was apparently part of the NASA Challenger thing. And he was worried about looking even worse for letting illegal terrorists into America. And this whistleblower, Julia Davis, who raised the issue with him, she was getting targeted, along with all of her witnesses and buddies, which includes Brittany Murphy. Now here's, and that's where I was like, okay, how's this link? What the hell would Brittany Murphy be doing hanging out with a Department of Homeland Security agent? What's the link there? And we'll come back. Now you heard me say there was two films that, let me get his name right, Asif Akbar was talking about doing. The second one was called Brit. And curiously, Akbar produced two different Amityville horror films in the past, which are, of course, about a haunted house with malevolent spirits, much like the Amityville horror. Much like, much like Brittany Murphy and Britney Spears' home. Very strange, right? Now, here's what's even weirder. These films, the Top Priority, the Terror Within film that he did about this whole connection, you can't get a copy of it. There's a website for it. You can look it up. It even has a link that says buy now and it doesn't work. Very mysterious. Very strange. Now, here's where we'll get into the conspiratorial silencing theory that the documentary didn't go into. And it gets a little confusing, so hang in there. Because if you get lost, we're going to come back and I'm going to wrap it up. If you go to an interview from Red Ice Radio about the film and this whole conspiracy back in 2013, you can get a little more information here. I'm going to read to you this synopsis from the episode because there's a lot more to the episode. I think it's like 2 hours. It says, Top Priority, The Terror Within is a documentary film by Florida Lee Film Studios. It features an incredible true story of Julia Davis, national security whistleblower who was falsely declared a domestic terrorist and subjected to retaliation of unprecedented proportions by the Department of Homeland Security. She joins us to discuss what happened when she discovered and reported a breach of national security at the largest and busiest land border crossing in the U.S. on July 4th, 2004. The Department of Homeland Security failed to act on her reports, but instead of correcting the shortcomings exposed by Julia's report, they opened investigations against her. Her husband, BJ, a film producer who I'm trying to be an adult here, okay? I won't laugh. Her husband, BJ, a film producer who documented these events with a camera, also joins in to talk about the detailed events of this major story never reported on by the mainstream media. Which is still true, right? Although Julia took her case to court and won, they'll detail unprecedented retaliation and the abuses of the Patriot Act in Julia's case and talk about how the DHS spent American taxpayers' money on warrantless surveillance, including aerial surveillance with a Black Hawk helicopter and a fixed-wing airplane, wiretaps, sneak and peek burglaries, internet monitoring, and the OnStar tracking of the whole Davis family. Man, this is a mouthful here, this show explanation. They'll explain why this story was never reported on by the mainstream media and who was involved. In the second hour, we hear about several deaths connected to his story, including Julia's father, her neighbor, who filmed the footage of the Black Hawk, and the actress Brittany Murphy, as well as her husband. Julia and BJ talk about the diminishing of our American rights amongst Terror Theater 101. Don't miss, blah, blah, blah. So you get it, right? Now, again, I must be the craziest person on the planet, but I find it really bizarre, the connection with Brittany Murphy, and it's barely an afterthought. It's one sentence out of this massive paragraph explaining the 2 hours of TV show, or of a radio show, excuse me. It wasn't even mentioned by HBO Max. I apparently am the only one that thinks this is really odd and should stand out amongst all the other things. But anyway, I was able to find an audio copy of this episode with Julia Davis on Red Ice Radio, the woman who's behind this whole conspiracy, the whistleblower, right? And YouTube, by the way, they torched all the links to Red Ice Radio, but the person who uploaded it did so in June of 2013, and I could find it on the Red Ice website that this episode was published May 26th, 2013. And when you listen to it, Julia was shocked that the mainstream media wasn't even interested in any of this, which is shocking, right? That America would let a bunch of terrorists in. Even though she had video of the Black Hawk helicopters tracking her and documents to corroborate the story. But the overall media is co-opting this label that they try to smear her with of domestic terrorist. Now, I'm going to play you a clip from the Red Ice Radio show because it was so hard to dig up. It's a little over 5 minutes. So, you know, bear that in mind. And keep in mind, this is from, like, 2013. The Top Priority Brittany Murphy movie, Julia Davis Brittany Murphy movie was released in 2012. So take all that with, for what it's worth. Take a listen.
Did you guys hire any people that could look for bugs and see if your phones were tapped, stuff like that?
Yes, we did do that, and then actually some of the government's documents refer to installing certain devices that not all of them have been found to date, but we definitely did a lot of that to try to protect ourselves. But what they mainly rely on doesn't require them to install a lot of physical devices because, for example, OnStar, that is now installed in majority of the vehicles here in the U.S., and it allows them to actually remotely turn on the mic to where they can hear everything that's being said inside of the car, in addition to being able to track exactly where the car is. And they have used that on us, even though we had cut off the OnStar service as soon as we bought our vehicles. We never wanted to have that system, but they're able to override it. So whether or not you're using that system, they can. And then the same applies to them reading emails. And unfortunately, courts have been agreeing with them that they don't need to have a warrant to read emails. So a lot of these techniques just rely on their ability to penetrate every area of your life and come into your home and do sneak and peek incursions and copy your documents. And obviously, as far as computers go, they have very sophisticated programs that are not detected by programs that are designed to combat viruses and toolkits and keyloggers, but they're very actively using that. So they can pretty much be inside your bedroom, inside your car, wherever you have a laptop, and they want you, a lot of times they want you to know that they're doing it so that you're constantly ill at ease and also hoping that you will make a police report to say that you're being followed. And then they could say, oh, look, what a nutcase. They must be insane. Maybe we should send them for a psychiatric evaluation. So it's a multi-pronged attack.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Double insult is with the OnStar, the government actually pays OnStar $150 an hour to monitor you without a warrant. And the other insult to taxpayers in the U.S., and I'm sure expanding around the world, is that you can't sue OnStar for violating your privacy.
Well, that's incredible. Do you guys know if this can actually be disabled in some way, despite of, you know, whatever that actually, I don't know exactly what the kind of devices in your car, if this can be removed in some way. You guys know?
The way they have it built, it's like an octopus that is connected to just pretty much every part of your car. So, for example, if you're hitting gas, you're hitting brakes, they know about it. If you're putting gas in your car, if you're putting oil in it, they know it. And they know how fast you're driving and where. And when we went to try to get it removed, they quoted us over $10,000. And even then, they couldn't guarantee that it would solve the problem and remove every part of the system from the car.
Wow. Yeah, they could shut down your car remotely, like brake and turn off to the side and just shut it off for you. Yeah, it's incredible, the technology. Yeah.
Yes, and then also every cell phone, unless it's turned off and the battery taken out, is another remotely activated microphone where they can listen in to what's going on in a certain range around your telephone as well. And the only way to combat that is to have the battery taken out or to have a phone in the metal box where the signal doesn't get through. But literally, it's the technology that should be used to detect actual crimes is being used to intimidate and set up innocent citizens.
Oh, definitely. We know about I forget the name of the browser right now that they used, but that was one way they did it through Facebook and everything else. So you just see when you upload your photos, there is GPS coordinates in the photos and everything else. And you can do live searches on Twitter, I think, and Facebook as well. And then we had this recent scandal is it unfolding right now with the IRS, spying on the Tea Party. We've had Department of Justice spying, I think, on the Occupy movement and everything else. So this is pretty much standard procedure right now, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because on directives from the Department of Homeland Security, from Bonner and his underlings, we were also attacked by the IRS, and we're still going through being audited for multiple years.
starting in exactly the year when I made my whistleblowing disclosure and up to a certain point in time. And not only did they audit us and levied our accounts, funny enough, they always try to do that on the date of that is important to you somehow. For example, when we premiered the documentary Top Priority at the Academy, on that date they went and emptied our accounts again with an IRS levy. And they also did it on my birthday. They also did it on Christmas Eve. And so it's very much coordinated effort, and that is being used to harass and intimidate people. And not only did they do it to us, but they had also audited two separate sets of attorneys that were representing us in the different venues of the case. And a lot of people would say that an audit is such an unpleasant thing to deal with that a lot of times people might be scared away from working on your case or helping you if they think that they might be audited by the IRS.
But Henrik, I think though you hit it on the head there too. The like Facebook and you've got so many different social networks there that really there are elements of the government there monitoring and to data mining. They work in tandem with Paramount, CBS. These they're all it's the tentacles. That's why mainstream media, just defies the law and logic of covering genuine, I hate to use the word whistleblowers, because that's just a testing ground for all people from around the world where it is a means to retaliate against or violate your rights.
You'll hear, I mean, granted, this is an old, does OnStar even exist anymore? But she's talking about how OnStar is able to turn on the mics to spy on people in the vehicle. And I've never had OnStar, but from what I gathered, it was a subscription service where if you need help, you just hit the button and it communicates through, I don't know, satellites probably to 911 or something to that effect. And she's saying that OnStar with it worked two ways. They could have used it as a microphone to spy on us. Now this was before Edward Snowden revealed the same techniques of how the NSA could spy on you because of the Patriot Act and the FISA warrants through that PRISM program, if you recall. Because, you got to protect us from all the terrorists, right? And, if you caught it, Homeboy was dropping a truth bomb on that clip talking about how social media is a trap. And that is something we, as conspiracy theorists, were talking about back then, but no real proof. But, in June of 2013, I got an article from The Guardian talking about PRISM. The idea started getting released that, hey, you know what? Social media is data mining and selling your data. And there's all these shady players involved with all of this. And they're spying on us. That's what the Patriot Act started. In exchange of freedom for so supposed security, right? This is what and if you don't know what PRISM is, I got this article from The Guardian. It says the National Security Agency has obtained direct access to the systems of Google, Facebook, Apple, and other U.S. internet giants, according to a top secret document obtained by The Guardian. The NSA access is part of a previously undisclosed program called PRISM, which allows officials to collect material, including search history, the content of emails, file transfers and live chats, the document says. So if that don't make you pucker up a little bit, shout out to my sponsor, StartMail. They secure your human right to privacy. Get 50% off your first year. StartMail.com/conspiracy. I'm using it now. You may not have nothing to hide, but you got something to protect. That's your privacy. That's your human right. Quick shout out to StartMail. Anyway, yeah. I mean, we've kind of lost sight of that, haven't we? That's something that was a huge, and I'm old enough to remember all of this stuff. I remember when the Patriot Act was first introduced, there was a lot of backlash against it. Then they have these revelations about PRISM spying on us through the social media and the phones and all these devices and voice over IP phones and all this stuff. And there was a lot of pushback against it, but does anyone care in the end? Or can they keep us distracted with enough entertainment? The bread and the bread and circus of the Roman Empire, they keep you distracted. And look, I'm guilty too. I'm right there with you. I'm not giving up this damn iPhone. Are you kidding me? What, do you want me to get a jitterbug? Look, I'm here talking about Brittany Murphy. I'm talking about celebrities. So in some ways, I contribute to this. But yeah, that was a big to-do back then. And, you know, the younger generation, they probably haven't heard this stuff. Or they're not aware. Or don't even care. Which is not good. Not good. Now, Julia drops a great statement in the second part of that show. I'm going to read you. I wrote it down. She said, it's not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. My God. Is that not correct? Doesn't it feel like we've lost our way as a society? It is. Everything's about right and left. Everything now. It's about right and wrong. And she talks about how both parties are pulling the same crap to trample on our rights, which is something I've been trying to get across. And then look, it's not 100% of every politician out there, but you got to understand there's puppet masters and controllers that steer the will of the general vibe of the political parties. So they might sprinkle you with a couple goodies here and there, but they're going to keep at the master plan. Both parties, two masks to the same face. So anyhow, on the second hour of the Red Ice, about halfway into it, so we're talking, an hour and a half into this two-hour thing? We finally start talking about Brittany Murphy. Now, if it was me, and I'm kind of a basic biatch, right? I would start right out the gate, be like, tell me about Brittany Murphy. How do you know her? But, you know, we wait till an hour and a half in. And I'm going to play this clip. And again, another long one, but hang in there because it's going to be worth it. And I'm gonna wrap up what's being said here.
Yeah, that's very fortunate, as you say. Otherwise, you guys might not have even been here today. Who knows what would have happened? And you know, yeah, it's a real, real scary story. So let's talk about the connection to Brittany Murphy, the actress who died under strange circumstances, I would say, in December 2009. I think the coroner stated that the primary cause of her death was pneumonia, and then there was some other factors involved in that, like iron deficiency and stuff like that. But let's get into the connection to Brittany Murphy here.
Yes, and one of the 54 investigations that the government started against me to try to discredit me by any means whatsoever, what happened is when they forced my supervisor, who supported me, to retire before it was his time to retire, they installed this new supervisor over me, who previously had worked only as a clerk in a different area of the port. So they installed this supervisor, Susan Butwell, to be my new supervisor. And she was very tightly involved with the management's efforts to find some way to discredit me. Her daughter was trying to break into the film industry, and it was by a sheer coincidence that her daughter happened to cross paths with Brittany Murphy at some point when they were auditioning for parts in movies. So this was this woman's only connection to Hollywood, was to say that her daughter knows Brittany Murphy. So she decided to use that against us and made up a lie under oath to say Brittany Murphy had told me that Julia was working on a movie with BJ when she was taking administrative leave from work. And that was a complete fabrication. The government even claimed that I was co-starring in a movie with Burt Reynolds, which was a totally preposterous, and we were able to prove that that was a lie. But what they didn't count on is that with BJ being in the industry for over 30 years, he knows everybody, and he was able to go straight to Brittany and ask her, did you say this? And she readily confirmed that she did not say that, and had given us a written statement through her attorneys to confirm that she never said that to Butwell or anyone else with Homeland Security. So right there, their lie was blown out of the water. And Brittany was named as an official witness in our case that was at the time proceeding against the Homeland Security. So you can imagine what would happen if Brittany was to walk through the doors to testify in our case. There would be a lot of media.
That's right.
Just for that reason alone, and that would totally undermine their the entire plan of keeping this case under wraps. So to them, it was a big catastrophe. So after Brittany stood up and had called them out on a lie, all of a sudden she noticed that she's being followed. And actually, her and Simon had told about it to the editor-in-chief of The Hollywood Reporter, which is a major publication, as I'm sure you know. And he published it in an article called The Last Days of Brittany Murphy. And he has audio tapes of Brittany and Simon talking to him about being followed by helicopters and about being wiretapped. And in the article, he quoted them saying that helicopters were following them and they were being wiretapped. And he pretty much scoffed at that. And after they had told that to him and, you know, to other people whom they considered to be friends in the industry, people started to talk about them as though they were paranoid or on drugs, because who would believe that someone is being followed by helicopters or being wiretapped? And Brittany didn't want to stay at home. She kept wanting to spend the night at the hotel because, you know, she could sense that something was amiss, that someone has been in her house when they're not there, and that it was the sneak and peek incursions. So what happened next was very much a parallel to our case, where with the Black Hawk helicopter, when they raided our home, they were planning to denaturalize and deport me. They had attacked Simon the same way. He was a British citizen. So they arrested him in the middle of the night, dragged him away, threw him in the immigration prison. And it was ICE people from San Diego branch, exactly the same agency, the same branch that had been attacking me all along. And I guess that was their message to Brittany: look who you are messing with, and look at what we can do. So the parallels were just astonishing, and because of all these rumors swirling about her that she's being paranoid and on drugs, she lost big parts in Happy Feet and Tinkerbell and other movies, because producers were being told that she's crazy, paranoid, and
sure.
Drugs. But she was telling the truth. It's just no one would believe it.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, Brittany was found dead in her home, and shortly before her death, she was experiencing very strong abdominal pains, and she was vomiting brown fluid. And exactly the same thing happened 5 months later with her husband. He was experiencing sharp abdominal pains with brown liquid coming out of his mouth. And this would definitely, any normal human being would say, well, let's check if there were any poisons or toxins that these people may have been subjected to, especially when these two young people die like this, one several months after another. But there has never been a complete autopsy. As a matter of fact, Brittany's dead, and us together are in the process of getting Brittany's tissues finally released by the coroner and the LAPD to get them tested to find out once and for all what really killed her. Because to say that husband and wife both die of pneumonia and anemia 5 months apart, when both of them had traveled extensively and worked abroad, and we have documents where they have been vaccinated against a multitude of diseases, including pneumonia. So it's just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
So what was being said here is that one of the investigations used to discredit Julia, her supervisor was replaced with this woman, I think it was Susan Baldwell, and then she was set to discredit Julia. Meanwhile, her daughter was trying to get into the film industry. Julia Davis's daughter was trying to get into Hollywood, into the film industry, and she somehow crossed Brittany Murphy's path at some audition. Now, this is the only connection this woman had to Hollywood, Julia Davis, is because her daughter knew Brittany Murphy. Okay? So in some ways, she said that Brittany Murphy claimed Julia was in a film, but BJ was plugged into Hollywood and asked Brittany Murphy, and she gave a written statement that this was all a lie. And now Brittany Murphy was an eyewitness against the Department of Homeland Security. Now her and Simon, Brittany Murphy and Simon Monjak, noticed that they were being followed, and Simon starts talking to the Hollywood Reporter guy. And she mentions that the feds is why Julia, sorry, I know this gets really dicey. Julia Davis says that the feds are why Brittany Murphy didn't want to sleep at her home, not ghosts. Wasn't the haunted house. And she was like, hey, they're going to deport my husband, Simon. And if you remember the Larry King interview, I think it was a Larry King interview, Simon was like, no, I got my green card, I'm good, I'm fine. So he didn't really corroborate that. So I don't know what the hell is going on. I don't know. But yeah, basically, Brittany Murphy, so Julia Davis's daughter was at an audition and I guess befriended Murphy on some level. And Julia Davis's husband, BJ, got a written statement from Murphy proving that her boss was lying about Julia's connections to, I don't know, Hollywood. That's where it gets a little fuzzy to me. But apparently she's involved in this now. And where I do see evidence is when you get a big name, celebrities have a ton of draw and a ton of power. And I don't think the forces that be, the powers that be, like, think lightly of that. Like, they know this, right? So obviously they're watched. So when her name got brought into the mix of this case, I'm sure they definitely took a look at her and Simon. Now, did they want to leave their house because of that? Maybe, right? Could be. Also, if you listen, she said that how Simon and Brittany were throwing up dark liquid, right? You remember the whole UFO case with the late, great Max Spires? Very similar, right? What's up with the black goo? After the clip, she claims that there was an autopsy and it claimed that Brittany Murphy was the perfect weight and height for her. So, I don't know. She basically discredited the HBO theory about the anorexia and bulimia back in 2013. I don't see the autopsy, but that's what they're saying. She looked very thin. I don't know. Now we've got this whole other batch of theories to contend with. And it's not like the federales have a great track record. If you look at COINTELPRO, where they were supposedly spying on subversives and communists to take down, they literally shot and killed Black Panther leaders, spied on Martin Luther King, tried to discredit him as an adulterer. Again, all to protect you from the dangers of communism and socialism. My God. Now, that socialism only works if you're in the corporate banking or you're too big to fail. That's when socialism's okay. If you need a handout or a hand up, that's when it's socialism. See, do you see who rules this country? It's the oligarchy of the lobbyists. The corporate interests are what run this country. People want to blame all, you know, that's what bugs me is like people get so distracted by politics. I'm like, oh, you know, Joe Biden and Trump and Fauci are making us do. No, they're not making us do anything. You saw how the CEO of Delta was the one that was able to change the CDC policy, right? You saw that. They changed the quarantine time down to 5 days. And look, to be fair, to not sound too communist here, like, capitalism's a great system. You definitely need a free market economy. Until there's something better that comes along, I don't know what's better. But let's not forget who the real evil doers are here. They want to victim blame and make the common man and woman in America the problem when it's really the corporations. That's what I think. Anyhow, if you consider the PRISM program, nothing's really changed. Nothing's really changed. They used to spy on some of these big names. Now they spy on everyone. And there's this undercurrent to keep us on the hamster wheel that they've designed, you know? And Brittany Murphy apparently threatened it. These celebs, like I said, they're given a lot of power. But the second you threaten to use your God status to go against the whole system that they've built, it's a wrap for you. Very strange. Now, here's another idea. Let's float one more theory, then we're going to wrap this whole thing up. Are we going to wrap this up? Yeah, we're going to wrap this whole thing up. Perez Hilton. He's a guy, like a blogger, back when blogging was a thing. And he was saying that she died from rat poison, which he didn't mention on this HBO doc. Let's go back to my article here. It says, it appears that Perez Hilton has posted up some sort of claim that Murphy and her husband were killed via rat poison. Now supported by a Huffington Post article. And here's what it says. Well, Britt's dad, Angelo Bertolotti, never believed that explanation and obtained his own blood, hair, and tissue samples to get tested by an outside lab. True, right? Even the HBO thing showed us that. Sharon Murphy, the actress's mom, has been saying that her daughter died from mold in their home, and the lab results may have confirmed that. And we already talked about the metals and stuff in the hair versus the blood, how they're two different things. And apparently on this article, Perez Hilton was thinking, oh, wow, there's a high level of metals. And he said, whoa, they could have been poisoned. Apparently the levels of heavy metals in Brittany's hair were at a level so high it could have been from ingesting rat poison. And then they had the symptoms of rat poisoning. Then in the article, I went through some strange imagery. She was doing the Illuminati vow silence, you know, the finger to the lips. And she had a photo shoot wearing eyes wide shut garb, which was, of course, very strange. There was also the Mirror. I don't know how reputable that website is, but they posted some details that claims Brittany Murphy and Simon were paranoid of the paparazzi, and that's why they didn't leave the house. So either he's controlling, or, you know, there's some ideas that he wanted to keep her in the house, and there's some ideas that they wanted to leave the house because of ghosts and the feds, but then the paparazzi are why they stayed home. I mean, it's all over the place. I'm going to read to you from the article. It says, Brittany Murphy was paranoid and lived like a recluse in her dirty Hollywood mansion. A shocking new documentary claims. Her mother, Sharon Monjack, said in the days before her death, the Hollywood actress was paranoid and lived in a completely mad existence with her husband, British filmmaker Simon Monjack. Speaking to a Channel 5 documentary, Mrs. Monjack said, they would say there were helicopters flying overhead. They were being watched. Both of them were very fearful of this. The house was like Fort Knox. They had surveillance cameras all around the house. They had a security guard there 24 hours. The security was mad. Totally, completely raving mad. It was way over the top, and it was because they were frightened. The Sin City actress was so paranoid about paparazzi that she was reluctant to even accept medical help. And as a result, her mum, Sharon, only called an ambulance when it was too late. Pathologist Dr. Richard Shepard, who had investigated the deaths of Princess Diana and Jill Dando, says the accidental death could have been prevented. The autopsy report shows they didn't find any fungi either in her bloodstream or in the sections of lung that they examined under the microscope, so mold and fungi haven't played a direct role in her death. But living in poor housing conditions like that is likely to have a debilitating effect, contributing to her infection and death. Sources at the time said Brittany was a cocaine addict who struggled with eating disorders. She may have been also taking antidepressants, sedatives, and anti-anxiety drugs. So here we hear more allegations that there were helicopters flying around, which could support the whistleblower theory. We hear that her mansion was a mess and dirty, and it seemed like that from the images we've seen on the HBO doc. We also hear that Simon was a little crazy with his security, which we've confirmed in the first part of this show. On the podcast, we talked about on the last episode, someone came over, it was a reporter, and they were saying how, like, dude, it was like crazy over there. So they were paranoid. Was it because they were whistleblowing? Was it because the paparazzi were all over them? Was it because of the ghosts? They were EVPing maybe? I don't know. I don't know. But in conclusion, the Brittany Murphy mystery is yet to be solved. There's way more to it than this documentary presented, this HBO documentary. It's a wild story. And if the whole story wasn't so bizarre, I wouldn't think much of it. I mean, why would a person like me sitting at home, just paying attention, giving a bigger picture of what happened here than I would argue these polished documentaries are given, right? Like, I'm just some guy at home reading about this stuff. How could these documentaries by HBO and Hollywood and all this stuff, how comes they don't know about this stuff? They got to know about it. They just chose not to show you this. I think there's an attempt to steer reality to the wills of the handlers, the Illuminati. That's why Google and YouTube and social media, they started banning stuff, banning free speech, essentially, telling you like, oh, this is harmful. We're going to protect you and protect your feelings. And we're just going to ban certain things because they're trying to create a reality. And the democracy that is the internet is threatening this. So you could see, Brittany Murphy could have died from a lot of different things. And I think this documentary was used to push a narrative they wanted you to believe, that she died because she was unhealthy and anorexic. Simon was a total sleazeball who was also unhealthy and overweight and all this stuff. And I think that could be it too. Like, that's one plausible theory. But there's a lot of other theories involved here too. And why are they not telling us about those? Why didn't they make an episode 3 and an episode 4 talking about these things? Because I don't think they want you to know. And that's the bigger question. Why don't they want us to know? They're creating reality. That's what Hollywood is. The magic of creating illusion and creating reality. That's what magic is on the fundamental level. So there you go. Brittany Murphy. What do you think? A big mystery as to how she really died. I tried to make an explanation for it there. I hope it makes more sense. I hope you enjoyed the show. And depending on when you're listening to this episode, your window might be closed, but January 31st, 2021 is the last day you can sign up for the VIP section. You could become a supporter of the show. You'll go ad-free. You'll get over 100 bonus episodes over the years. You'll get 2 free books I wrote, come on, for $2. And you'll get that $2 deal for 2 consecutive months. Hit the link in the show notes. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. Hit the VIP deal. Type in No More Losers as your promo code for tier 1. And you're going to get in for $2 a month, because I'm so sure you're going to love it that you'll stick around. And maybe you won't, and you can ask me for the $2 back. I don't care. You'll get my email when you sign up and just hit me up and say, hey, you're stupid. The VIP section is stupid. But I'll have you know, no one's ever done that. But you're welcome to do that. 100% money back guarantee. $2, support the show, go ad free, get the books, get 100 bonus episodes. Link in the show notes. Till next time, stay woke.